Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome into the Strom Sports Show, episode 168 on the great TalkNorth.com. Steven Strom here. Wild Ducks tonight. Hockey season is back. Basketball season, that's around the corner. It's a sports equinox, everybody. We have playoff baseball. We have football. We have basketball, hockey, college basketball in a few weeks, college football. This is the best time of the year. And to be honest with you, living down here in South Florida, the months just kind of go by and it doesn't feel any different because, humble brag, humble flex, it's 85 degrees here every day. So, I mean, like, you know, October comes around. I'm expecting to bring out the hoodies, the jackets. It's been, like, weird. Like, these sports are coming, but, you know, it's so weird because, you know, as a sports nut, you associate the weather with sports. Oh, okay, the leaves are turning red and brown. All right, football season, right? Like, that's how it works, you know. Snow's on the ground. All right, we're getting deeper into the NBA season. That's just how my mind thinks. So it's a little bit trickier now. I mean, again, you don't have to feel bad for me living down here, but I'm just saying, it's great to have every sport back at once. It is the sports equinox, and I'm totally here for it. We have Joe Person of The Athletic. He's been a Panthers beat writer since 2010, a colossal game for the Minnesota Vikings this weekend. They are 2-3. They escaped by the skin of their teeth against the Detroit Lions. They tried to give away the game. Greg Joseph ended up banging home a field goal at the end to put them over the top. And the Panthers started off 3-0. They lost Christian McCaffrey. They're now 3-2. They've lost their last two games. So this is a huge swing game for both teams. We'll have Joe on. We'll talk a little bit about Christian McCaffrey and what his update is. We'll talk a little bit about the offensive line for both teams. Really good conversation with Joey. Gives some good insight. So make sure to stick with us as we get to that in just a few minutes. But we have a couple of things I want to hit on. First one, more of a personal thing to my heart. I would say living in New Jersey, playing against Karl Towns, what I saw on Tuesday afternoon was pretty damn cool. Karl Anthony Towns was introduced in the St. Joe's Hall of Fame in New Jersey. Cat, obviously being a superstar out in Minnesota, he's been through it, you know, these last couple of probably years, just from a basketball perspective and the ups and downs, but more importantly, his life and how much it's changed without his mom. So to see Karl Towns be inducted into the St. Joe's Hall of Fame, to have that moment, made me feel really good. It also made me feel a little bit nostalgic. It made me feel a little bit like, wow, I'm sort of a part of this. Like, I was part of that 70-point blowout. I was part of that stat line. And it was pretty cool, you know, looking back at box scores. NJ.com still has them where you can see my name, Steven Strom, and Karl Towns' name in the same box score. Like, and I posted it on the Twitter. It's just freaking cool. But some of the accolades, because, again, I played against Karl twice a year. He was in my conference in the Greater Middlesex Conference. I went to Old Bridge. He went to St. Joe's. Karl Towns, three state titles, and in his final year, led the St. Joe's Falcons to a 30-2 record and its only Tournament of Champions crown. It was also pretty cool that Towns was accompanied by his father, Carl Sr., his older sister, and also D'Angelo Russell and Chris Finch went as well, which I thought was pretty cool. So his number is going to be retired, number 44. Just really cool. Really cool stuff. One of the best players to come out of New Jersey. He also was playing like for the Dominican Republic national team for Coach Cal at like 16. So the stuff that, you know, he's a legend out in Jersey, and I just think it's so cool to be a part of something like that. Even though, you know, the games weren't close, to say that I was on the same court as Karl Towns as a freshman and sophomore, it's just something that, you know, not a lot of people are able to say, and you can't pay for those moments. Those moments are priceless. That's the work you put in, both sides, right? Karl and myself, you know. So just a really cool moment personally, seeing Karl get inducted into the St. Joe's Hall of Fame in New Jersey. Second thing I want to hit on, we'll go to the professional sports stuff that you probably care about, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. And yes, They did win last week against the Detroit Lions. Yes, it was ugly. You didn't really know how to feel. I was so angry that the game unfolded the way that it did. It just felt like a sleeper game. And, you know, being 10-point favorites, every Viking fan is weary and they're on, like, the edge of their seat. Why are we favored by this much? Detroit can't be this bad. And then look what happens. The one takeaway that I had, other than just the team sort of sleepwalking, something has to change as far as Justin Jefferson's targets. It just has to. When it's all said and done, and I don't know what the future of Mike Zimmer looks like if the Vikings don't make the playoffs. I don't know what the future looks like with Kirk Cousins the next couple of years, but I know I am going to have major regrets if Justin Jefferson isn't utilized the way that this man should be. And some of the, I mean, on Sunday is a perfect example. Justin Jefferson should have 15 to 20 targets. Nobody on that field can guard them. Nobody. And the Vikings continuously try to bang their head against the same wall and run the ball. This is the one thing that drives me nuts about Zimmer. It's like, I get the identity is to run the ball. I get that. I get that you want to keep the defense honest. I understand that. I know that's our identity. But at some point, you got to sort of throw away the run game for a little bit and see if you can open things up by passing it to Justin Jefferson. And I wanted to pull it up because I didn't want to feel crazy. I pulled up some of the targets, leaders, most targeted players in the NFL right now. And Justin Jefferson is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He is 12th in targets. No, there's no excuse why he should be 12th. Here are some of the names. Devontae Adams, who had 16 targets in week 5. Cooper Kupp, Keenan Allen, Deebo Samuel, Mike Williams, Tariq Hill, DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, Jacoby Myers, Mike Evans, and Justin Jefferson. It's inexcusable. Justin Jefferson should have 15 targets minimum every single game. He is way too dynamic. He's way too talented. And he creates so many problems anytime Kirk Cousins is under center from the shotgun. If he sees those safeties creeping in, if he has any sense that Justin Jefferson is one-on-one, you throw him the ball. You throw him the ball. Let's look at the consequences, or let's look at the outcomes that can happen. He can catch the ball. He can drop the ball. He can get called for pass interference. It can be intercepted. I will take the three over the interception any day of the week. Kirk Cousins is capable enough. Justin Jefferson, if the Vikings want to switch this season around and get on a winning streak, and they're going to have to put up numbers offensively, Carolina, Dallas, and Baltimore, the next three games, they need to make sure that number 18 is involved in 15 targets minimum. That's what it should look like. Same way Green Bay uses Devontae Adams, it's the same way Justin Jefferson should be used. Because I swear to you, in a couple of seasons, when we look back at it, we're all going to look at each other and say, wow, we sort of underused Justin Jefferson. Why did he only have 7 targets this game? Why did he only have 6 targets this game? Shouldn't happen. Here's the numbers for the first 5 weeks. 9 targets, 10 targets, 11 targets, 7 targets, 8 targets. Should never be in single digits. Ever. Ever. Should never be under double digits. Ever. So we'll see what the Vikings do about it. A very big game against Carolina. Again, we will have Joe Person on in just a few minutes. But you know what we have to do? It's a bounce back week. Yes, it happened. And it happens. 0-3 weeks happen. 9-5 overall. I'm ready. I went back to the drawing board. I don't want this to get out of hand here, so I want to nip it in the butt early. Steve's 3 NFL guarantees. Play the imaging.
It's time for Steve's 3 NFL guarantees.
No cha-ching sign. I shouldn't have been able to play that sounder. 0-3 last week. 9-5 overall. 49ers plus 5.5. That was wrong. They lost by 7. The Chiefs minus 2.5. They got blown out at home against Buffalo. Maybe some concern for Kansas City. And then the Broncos and Steelers under 40. That did not hit as well. So we're back to the drawing board. And you know what? That's okay. You know, that is okay. You're going to have these weeks. This is why you built 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, because you're able to afford an 0-3 week. We're 9-5 overall. It's 4 games over 500. Back to the drawing board. Let's go. Let's let them rip. Number 1, first pick and the most confident one. I always leave with this. It's a Vikes minus one at Carolina. Matchups. That's what I look at. Matchups. You can't look at teams saying, oh, this team's hot, this team's cold. I know the Vikings barely beat Detroit. I know the Vikings didn't look really good at all last week. But Carolina just, there's something about the matchup. Carolina has an offensive line that struggles. Christian McCaffrey possibly being out is humongous because you look at the correlation. Sam Darnold, one interception through three games when he goes 3-0. He loses McCaffrey. He has now thrown five interceptions. If they don't have Christian McCaffrey, Darnold's going to turn the ball over. I like the Vikings going into Carolina and beating the Panthers. Vikes minus one. Second one, Browns minus three at home against the Arizona Cardinals. This is the second time I'm betting against the Cardinals. It's time. It's time for them to lose. They are the last remaining undefeated team. Cleveland is a nightmare matchup for Arizona, and I'll tell you why. This defensive line is lethal. And Arizona, yes, they had another nice win against San Francisco. Things are starting to slow down. The offense doesn't look as potent, and that offensive line doesn't look as strong. Max Williams, tight end from Minnesota, just announced out for the season. It's a huge, huge loss for the Arizona Cardinals. He provides some good vertical ability at that tight end position. Look for the Browns here, minus three, to take care of business. This could be a blowout because Arizona, again, on their high horse, they're due for a loss. Give me the Browns minus three against Arizona. And then the last one. Last time the Titans were 5.5-point dogs, they went into Seattle and they won. They're 5.5-point dogs against the Buffalo Bills. I talked to you just before about don't always go with the hot team. Don't always go with, oh, wow, Buffalo just went into Kansas City. No way they're going to lose against Tennessee. Ah, Tennessee has struggled. They lost to the Jets. Matchups, people. Matchups. The Titans can run the ball, keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hand. Derrick Henry going to be able to really, I think, work that Buffalo defense. Look for the Titans here, not only to cover 5.5, I like them to win outright, but I'm going to just take them plus 5.5. So in review, we've got the Vikes minus one, we've got the Browns minus three, and we've got the Titans plus 5.5. Two teams at home, and we got one road favorite that we are going to rock with this week on Steve's Three NFL Guarantees. Joe Person, he's up next here on the Strom Sports Show. All right, Joe Person is with us now. He's covered the Carolina Panthers since 2010. He is with The Athletic, and he's here to help us preview a huge, huge matchup on Sunday afternoon between the Carolina Panthers and your Minnesota Vikings. Joe Steven Strom here. Thank you very much for giving me some time today. How's everything going?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. This is a huge game. I feel like this is one of those sneaky ones that'll come up real quick because these are two teams that are in desperation mode, I think, right now. You have a 3-0 start for the Carolina Panthers. They've dropped the last two. They don't want to fall to 3-3. Then you got the Vikings who are at 2-3. So this is a huge swing game. Let's start with the million-dollar question because you were at practice today. What's the status of Christian McCaffrey? Did he practice? How is he practicing? Was he limited? Give us sort of the SparkNotes version.
Yeah, definitely. He was limited here. You know, we're talking here on Wednesday evening. Limited. Matt Rhule saying he's probably 50-50 for the week. I started hearing a lot of stuff with Matt Rhule today, like that he was saying last week in terms of game day decision likely. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I thought Matt Rhule last week was kind of keeping some of that information. I didn't think Christian McCaffrey was going to play. He didn't. He ended up being ruled listed as doubtful. This week, I think Matt Rhule might be playing some gamesmanship the other direction. Like, I kind of think McCaffrey will play this week.
Okay.
Rhule's trying to keep that, you know, as close to the vest as he can and not give Mike Zimmer and his staff any kind of extra work to get in on that game plan.
Both running backs, status up in the air, Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey, two of the best. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. We know that not only Matt Rhule will be excited that CMC is back, but Sam Darnold will be pretty excited, especially just looking at the numbers, Joe, the last couple of weeks. He had one interception during the Panthers 3-0 start, but he's had five in two losses without Christian McCaffrey and a couple of fumble losses as well. Is this just more of not having Christian McCaffrey, or is it not playing teams like the Jets and the Texans and the Saints? You know, they're decent, but those other two teams, they're just not very good.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it really is kind of a combination of all those things. You factor in losing your best offensive player. They absolutely had an easy stretch of the season to begin with. And they also had some injuries up front, too. Like, that offensive line has been sort of patched together the last couple of weeks. They look like they're getting everyone healthy up front. That will help. We already talked about McCaffrey. But all that being said, Sam Darnold also needs to play better. He was sort of reverting into some of the old Sam Darnold stuff we saw in New York, pressing, throwing balls into coverage unnecessarily, and really just not being a very good game manager, really. They had that lead in that game against the Eagles last week. Darnold, with his turnovers, sort of helped the Eagles get back into it. And, it'd be interesting. I mean, another tough test this week defensively for the Vikings. I don't think Darnold's as bad as he looked last week against the Eagles, but I mean, numbers are what they are, right? Like, you are what your record is. And right now the Panthers are 3-2 and Sam Darnold hadn't played very well the last 2 weeks.
Now, Matt Rhule came out and called this, was it the best day of practice since he's been coaching or the best week? Can I just confirm one of those two?
Yeah, he said it was their best day. They put the pads on. They got real physical. They did some live drills. You know, teams, as you know, are limited as to how many times they can do that. But Matt Rhule, I think, felt it was important to kind of try to nip this in the bud. Last year, Stephen, these guys ended up losing 8 out of 9 games around this stretch. They were 3-2.
But they were all one possession games too with Teddy. We love Teddy. Sorry.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they were in all of them. Heck, the Vikings beat them in a one possession game. And so I think Rhule, rather than have this sort of losing linger and kind of, you know, malign, have this malign team, he tried to shake things up today with a very physical, high contact practice.
Let's look at the matchup here with the Vikings. What are some things that have stuck out to you through 4 or 5 weeks of football here, specifically with Minnesota?
Well, obviously, everyone knows about those edge rushers, and really, they're front four in general. But you know, that could pose some problems for the Panthers. I mentioned earlier, this is a Panthers offensive line now. The last 2 weeks in the losses to Philadelphia and Dallas, 18 hits they've given up on Sam Darnold, 19 minutes, and 8 sacks.
Wow.
That's tough for any quarter. Like, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, yes, Darnold deserves some of the blame, but that's tough for any quarterback to win with that kind of protection or lack thereof. You know, with Hunter and those guys on the edge, it's a tough test. Like, you know, the Panthers, they do get Cam Irving back at left tackle. That allows them to slide Taylor Moten back to his more natural right side. He's their best offensive lineman. I don't know. I think if Hunter's a guy, I think might line up on both the edges or if they move him around or not. But Taylor Moten has been their best offensive lineman. But the other guys, as I said, have not really played very well, especially in the interior the last 2 weeks. They've been giving up a lot of interior pressure.
Joe Person with us now. A couple more left. We appreciate him giving us some time. Very similar in the offensive lines. Minnesota's has also been up and down, mostly down. So another really big test for them this weekend for both offensive lines. Couple more. Finish this sentence for me, Joe. If I'm Mike Zimmer, I'm concerned the most about what going into this game?
Probably Christian McCaffrey. I mean, because, he's – listen, I don't need to tell you. I mean, the guy is an all-pro running back. If he is healthy and plays, it is a different animal for the Panthers. And Chuba Hubbard actually has played pretty well.
Yeah.
He had 101 yards last week against Philadelphia. But teams can defend the Panthers differently without McCaffrey. Like, you know, they've been seeing a lot of man. Because, you know, the wide receivers have not done a real good job creating separation. But you play man defense with McCaffrey in there, man coverage, you're asking a linebacker or a safety to keep up with him. That's a mismatch regardless of who you choose. I don't care whose linebacker or safety you're talking about. And so if McCaffrey plays, and like I said, I may be reading the tea leaves wrong, we'll know more as this week goes on, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does play. And, you know, that just gives the Panthers are 3-0 this year with McCaffrey, 0-2 without him. And so that, you know, that's just yet another stat in how effective he's been.
That speaks for itself. I want to do the current quarterback situation then and a former quarterback that I want to just incorporate into this. I read your piece on Robbie Anderson. He's been vocal about stretching the field more. I'm sure when Robbie looks across on Sunday and sees Breshad Breeland, those wishes will come true. But what with Sam Darnold, you know, they played together. Why hasn't the connection been there these last couple of weeks? What do you think has sort of went wrong?
You know, honestly, I think Darnold just has more trust that DJ Moore is going to get open and catch the ball more consistently. Not that Anderson has had a bunch of drops, but he had one on Sunday, very key moment against the Eagles. Could have gone either way. Like, it was 3rd and 3. Darnold did make him gun to dive for it. Hit his hands. Matt Rhule said, look, you know, hit you in the hands. We got to have that play. I guess the very next play, so that's 3rd and 3. 4th and 3, they get the punt blocked. Eagles score, pretty much game over after that. So, you know, I think DJ Moore has really morphed into or grown into a very clear number one wideout on this team. That doesn't mean Anderson isn't deserving of targets. He needs to get the ball more than he has. And he needs to get the ball down the field. Like, that's his bread and butter. And I know you can't get game plan to where when he's in the game, that's all you're doing. I get it. But they haven't been trying to push the ball downfield enough. And that was really, going back to your question with the Jets, that was one of Darnold's strengths. Like, for all his weaknesses in New York, he would push the ball downfield and get to Robbie Anderson. And this is a great point you bring up. The Panthers need to do more of that.
Wanted to end again on a non-Viking Panther game question. You covered Cam Newton. You know, what does his career look like in 15 years? Just like, I'm just trying to think, you know, I'm 23, so hopefully I'm not having kids anytime soon. But when they do ask me about Cam Newton, you know, what are we going to say, Joe? Because he had the MVP year. We know about that. I think he threw for 4,000 yards his rookie year. Didn't go close to that after that. You covered him for a long time. Where are you at with Cam Newton's career and legacy?
I mean, honestly, I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And he's not traditional. He's never been a traditional quarterback, but the things he did with his feet, with his arm, when he was healthy, you know, he put that team on his back 2015, as you said, when he was MVP. You know, his body betrayed him, and some of that was the way he played. And, you know, listen, he famously said here in Charlotte during one training camp, he said, because the big question was, are you going to start going out of bounds or sliding? And he's like, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell a lion not to roar? And that was his way of saying, I'm not going to change. This is who I am. This is why the Panthers drafted me number one overall. It was good enough to win a national championship at Auburn. It damn near won him a Super Bowl here. You know, he will have a mixed legacy. There will always be people who didn't care for his theatrics. You know, he was a polarizing figure going, I think some of it goes back to Auburn and the NCAA stuff with his father, but he really changed the quarterback position in my mind. And there were people before him too, like, look, Randall Cunningham, guys like that who were running quarterbacks, but Cam did it at a level that no other dual threat quarterback had done previously. And now we're seeing it since then, Russell Wilson to a lesser degree, Lamar Jackson. And it's kind of become, it's not commonplace, right, more so than when Cam broke into this league.
No, you're 100% right. I think it definitely sort of paved the way for the Kyler Murrays and listen, Kyler Murray versus Cam Newton. Cam Newton's 6'6". Kyler Murray's, you know, 5'10 on a good day. But the point is, it's opened the field for dual threat quarterbacks. And I think you make a really good point there, Joe. I really appreciate you coming on here and carving out some time for us. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Joseph Person. He does a great job for The Athletic. Enjoy the week, enjoy the weekend, and enjoy that game. I really appreciate you again jumping on with me.
Steven, thanks for having me on, man. Look forward to seeing you down the road.
Yes, sir. All right, Joe Persons, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. We've got Gopher football this weekend, Panthers, Vikes, Wild Ducks tonight, Timberwolves around the corner. make sure to check out Michael Russo and the Worst Seats in the House podcast for your Wild coverage. You also have John Krasinski on your Wolves. You've got that taken care of. And then my Miami Heat. Let's get this thing going, man. I'm so excited for basketball season. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in again. And we'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.